Every week here on KNKX, we tell stories from around the Northwest on our show Sound Effect. Each episode has a theme, and this next story is about a turning point, one involving a local mall and a very large tree. Sound Effect host Jennifer Wing has more.
Back in 1950, Northgate Mall was just opening its doors. It was struggling to get traction and fill empty shops. Big local retailers like Nordstrom didn't believe that a regional shopping center all the way up north could survive. At the time, downtown Seattle was where people went to shop. A man named Jim Douglas set out to change this. Jim helped launch major legacies like Seafair and the World's Fair, but his crowning achievement was saving Northgate. Jim ran the mall from 1949 to 1976, and in the mall's early days, he saved it from financial ruin with the help of one very tall Christmas tree. Jim isn't around to tell his story that involved making the impossible happen. He died in 2005 at the age of 95, but he shared his stories with his young cousin, C.R. Douglas. Today, C.R. is a political analyst for Q13 News. We sat down in front of Northgate Mall with CR to talk about how Jim and this incredibly tall tree turned things around.
Well, the biggest thing Jim knew during that first year was that Christmas and the holiday season had to succeed. If you can't get sales, because those are really the best months of the year, then there was no reason for Northgate to exist. He knew that that first Christmas was make or break for Northgate.
So he had to go big. How did he do that?
They came up with this idea of the tallest Christmas tree in the world.
The world.
The world. Up to then, I think it had been 100, 120 feet, something like that. They wanted to get to 200 feet, and it was a financial risk. He thought they could probably do it for $3,000. It ended up costing almost 10 times that amount, nearly $30,000. They found a tree at an Enumclaw that they thought could work. Trees like that that grow in a forest have branches at the top, but they're mostly branchless at the bottom because the light is shaded. So they got a tree that looked like that, and they actually cut off all the branches. So it was just one big spire, if you will, one big pole, and it was a feat just to get it down without breaking it. And then transporting a 200-foot tree to Seattle was pretty difficult in those days. Remember, 1950, we didn't have all the kind of, you know, equipment, trucks to carry this kind of thing.
Yes, because there was no I-5 at the time. There wasn't a straight shot up the freeway. You had these surface streets. How did they make turns transporting the tree from Enumclaw to the mall?
It was very difficult, and they had a lot of help along the way. I mean, they had city engineers and probably had the police force and other people helping. But they used two trucks, in effect, one for the front of the tree and one for the back of the tree. So the middle of the tree, you know, well over 100 feet, was just kind of hanging in between the two. So they would go around a corner, and then that tree sometimes would kind of scrape on the sidewalk or scrape on the street, especially if they were going over a hill. I mean, that thing went up and down Pine Street. It did make turns. It was tough. It's a great story up in Lake City where they weren't able to make one turn and they had to go a couple miles detour and finally were able to make another turn. But it was hit or miss and a high risk endeavor just to see if you could get that thing in one piece all the way up here to Northgate. Never mind put the thing up. It was as though it was the Olympic torch relay. You know where you have cities that have the Olympic torch run through before the games? I mean, this thing had a three-day travel, and Jim was smart enough to know that that was worthy of attention, and the media did cover the tree, and Seattleites followed it.
So it arrives here at the mall, and it's just the beginning that it gets here in one piece. What did they have to do to set this thing up?
Well, the biggest thing they had to do was actually put branches back on it. I mean, once they got the thing up and they had guide wires, they had about 5 truckloads of branches, all of different sizes, that they were able to get from other trees, and actually branched the tree up. I mean, created a tree out of what was just kind of a large pole.
It was like a big toothpick.
And they made it look like this beautiful tree that was all one piece.
So they have this beautiful Frankenstein tree that was been repackaged, and it's standing 212 feet in the air. How did they engineer that?
Well, they had a lot of guide wires and must have had a very big base that it set in. But again, no one had ever done this. This was the world's largest and tallest cut Christmas tree. And I think they were inventing it as they went. They put lights on it. They decorated it. I mean, it was all beautiful. And then, within just a couple days of that thing going up, Seattle had one of the biggest windstorms of the decade. I mean, 60-mile-an-hour winds rushed through Northgate right when this tree was basically just going light. It was crazy. They almost lost the thing just after having put it up.
So what happened to it?
It weathered the storm somehow. They must have shorted up a little more than they would have otherwise, but mostly they crossed their fingers. They dodged a bullet with that windstorm.
So it's the world's tallest Christmas tree. This must have gotten some amount of publicity.
It got a huge amount of publicity. And Jim, who was really a showman and a promoter, knew and saw what he could get out of that. Obviously, the local papers were taking notice, but the biggest turning point for the tree was when Life magazine, the nation's preeminent magazine at that point, decided to do a story and feature this tree. So they came out, had some pictures actually of the tree traveling, and then had this enormous, big, glossy photo of the Northgate tree all lit up with the headline to the effect, "The World's Tallest Christmas Tree." I mean, it was PR gold. And of course, it led to then more media outlets, papers and dailies across America. I mean, it did become the Guinness World Book record holder for the tallest cut Christmas tree, and it remains the Guinness Book World Record tallest cut Christmas tree. And that tree changed everything for Northgate. It ensured that crowds came, it helped retailers generate buzz, and Northgate had an amazing first holiday season.
It was the giving tree, yeah.
It was the ultimate giving tree. And Jim had the foresight to know that that could happen.
When he would share these stories with you when you were growing up, how did he feel about this time in his life?
Well, he was a master storyteller, and I heard a lot of these as a kid, but really as an adult, when I spent so much time with him for his last 10 or 15 years of life, I really absorbed them. And I'd go down there almost once a week to his house, and we'd each have a gin martini, and it was like time travel. So many times it would come back to that Christmas tree, and you could tell in his voice how important that was to him and how excited he was about what it did, not just for Northgate and his own business success, but for the city. You know, Northgate became this really important cornerstone for the north part of Seattle.
Which until then had just been the burbs, right? Or pretty, not, I wouldn't say rural, but not a place that people visited very often.
I would say it was almost rural. The town was clearly heading north, and Jim had the foresight to see that you could build a regional shopping center that could help energize that growth north. And he also foresaw what it really became. I mean, Northgate has been an anchor for this enormous urban center we now see. I mean, with the college and with the business park and medical offices and all kinds of housing. I mean, this is kind of a model for growth management where people can live, work, play right in this area. I mean, it's been an important way of containing growth and channeling growth. I mean, if you had not had a Northgate, a whole hodgepodge of development would have happened here, probably haphazard, and none big enough to really anchor this neighborhood.
That was C.R. Douglas. He's a political analyst for Q13 News. He says that his cousin, Jim Douglas, was the person who had the idea for another huge shift in how people interact with retail, the pedestrian walkway. Northgate Mall was the first shopping center in America to have a small boulevard running through it for shoppers to meander on without the distraction of cars. It redefined the shopping experience for Northgate and for shopping centers and malls all over the country.